Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my beautiful wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom aleichem to all our listeners, which means peace be upon you. Let's open in exaltation of our Lord.
Abba, Father, we thank you, we praise and give you honor. Guide us by the light of your Holy Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We constantly lift up all our loved ones that still need your salvation. Keep pulling the strings of their heart and do whatever it takes for their eyes to be unveiled. We also speak your healing power on the listeners tonight suffering from any infirmity. For you are the healer, and our only hope is in you alone. Bless tonight's study, and may you be glorified. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen. Well, we're less than a month away from the start of the yearly three feasts of the fall season that all occur within the same Hebrew month of Tishrei, beginning with God's real New Year celebration, which actually lasts for 2 days, Tishrei 1 and 2.
Explain why 2 days.
Well, because way back then, the new moon could only be proclaimed when they saw its first sliver for that month. So, just to be sure they really saw it, they made it a two-day feast. And it was a two-day feast when Jesus was here. Rosh Hashanah is Hebrew. Rosh meaning head and Shana meaning year. And therefore, this particular appointment of God took on a common expression of...
No one knows the day or the hour.
Exactly. So it's easy to believe that Jesus knew that when he said, no one knows the day or the hour in Matthew 24, which is an open hint that they too would know what he was referring to. And really, only God can pinpoint the actual moment of the new moon.
And you know, there wasn't a NASA back then.
Right. But I do want to say that the Essene calendar does not go by the new moon, but rather on the Tuesday eve that usually follows the new moon.
As there was a special blessing given on Tuesday in Genesis.
There was. It's the only day that God said twice that it was good. So the scene saw that it was on the third day that God separated the waters and brought forth seed from herbs and trees.
So life began on Tuesday.
Yes, which is why weddings would also occur on a Tuesday to receive that double blessing.
And the moon was created the next day.
Mm-hmm, and likely a full moon, which is a typology of Jesus coming in the fourth day or 4,000th year from Adam, as Jesus was earthly born on Tabernacles, which is also a full moon on Tishrei 15.
But we'll get more into that all later.
We will surely do that. But also the Essene calendar for Rosh Hashanah lasts only one day, sunset to sunset. This year, September 15th and 16th, till sundown. On the Hebrew calendar this year, September 11th through the 13th at sundown. So we really don't know the day or the hour, as it could possibly be any time between the 11th and all the way to the 16th.
If it is this year.
We can only hope.
Mm-hmm. And what goes along with that hope is the current news.
Well, yes, news does matter when it comes to prophecy. And right now, peace and security, well, that seems far off. As far as Iran and the United States goes, it's been the same old story of threats for the last few weeks, promises and delays on both sides. Yesterday ended the 60-day so-called ceasefire of the MOU agreement. And right now, it's only guesswork at what Trump will do. But it appears the IRGC wants war and relaying great confidence. Probably because during the ceasefire, they have rebuilt their arsenal with help, secretly, of course, from Russia and China and even North Korea financially, through Hong Kong by way of the Caspian Sea, which sits on the northern border of Iran. As well, they still have foreign ships afraid of passing through the Strait of Hormuz, especially since they, again, hit two more vessels over the weekend.
And that will keep our gas prices high.
Uh-huh. There has been word that Israel will assist in any Iran war, but few others. In fact, Trump recently asked South Korea if they would help in the Strait of Hormuz, and they refused. So Trump told Secretary of Defense Hegseth to reduce our upcoming military exercises with South Korea.
Which made North Korea happy.
Yeah. That whole thing is peculiar, that Trump keeps saying what a friend he has in Kim Jong-un, or Un. It's because North Korea, besides Iran, is helping Russia fight Ukraine. However, we do have dozens of bases, approximately 30,000 U.S. soldiers protecting South Korea. So yeah, Trump is mad, especially because few other nations who have said they are willing to help but have yet to step up. And then there's the new Mecca Joint Defense Pact between Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and probably Egypt, who claim it's a pact against Iranian attacks. But shouldn't that include Iran's proxies, like the Houthis from Yemen, who recently struck Saudi's oil refinery?
Yes. Well, you know, Saudi Arabia did strike back.
Well, they did. But Bibi is concerned about this pact, given everyone knows how much disdain Turkey and Pakistan have for Israel. President Trump not happy either, as he wanted particularly the Saudis to join the Abraham Accords.
Doesn't seem likely now.
Mm-mm. A lot has to do with the fact that Trump will be gone in 2 years, and if the Dems get in, will likely not protect anyone in any war. With that said, we do know eventually some kind of peace agreement will happen.
False and very temporary.
Yes, but long enough for Trump or his successor to say we have achieved peace and safety in the Middle East, or maybe just in Israel with Hamas, as 1 Thessalonians 5 doesn't record with who or how many. In fact, why don't you read that, honey, in verse 3?
For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape.
They won't, but we will. Even Daniel 9 says a treaty will be signed, but just uses the term many, not necessarily the whole world. It's also interesting how Iran has not fired on Israel since June 7th. And Hezbollah only shoots on the IDF soldiers in Lebanon or on the border, but not in mid-northern Israel as they once were doing. Same in Gaza. Hamas, who still refuses to disarm, by the way, only attacks IDF soldiers within Gaza.
So it's obviously Iran doesn't want to poke the Israel bear.
Yes, seems so. IDF recently did hit an underground tunnel in South Lebanon, taking out a few operatives. But it's important to note that Hezbollah also hides civilians with them in their infrastructures, knowing if IDF hit them, they could accuse Israel of targeting civilians. You know, terrorist groups are famous for using civilians, including women and children, as human shields.
Yes, they do.
Okay, we must move on.
All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will also add you to our mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you can access any of our last programs, letters, and added teachings. Okay, we have some fall appointments of God to talk about.
We sure do. For it is that time again when Jesus, some year soon, will literally fulfill all his appointments. just like he did in the spring with his death, burial, and resurrection. And 50 days later, sent the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2.
Those appointments he already kept were on Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost.
Which took us into the current church age, which lasts for 2 days.
Hosea 6, verse 2.
Which means approximately 2,000 years from when he went back to his place, we think around 32 or 33 A.D.
So, time should be up.
Well, only God knows the precise time according to his calendar, but yes, we are certainly there. And this is an interesting point. The Essenes wrote in the Dead Sea Scrolls that the last occurrence of a 50-year Jubilee cycle would begin in 2025. And Jesus began and ended his ministry within the first 7 years of a new Jubilee cycle. So we hope this first 7 years will also be just as remarkable.
It's now on the 120th Jubilee since Adam.
Right. And Genesis 6 says, God will not strive with man forever, for his days will be 120. The Hebrew word is shanas, which can mean jubilees, not just years, as most Bibles interpret from the Hebrew word, which defines as revolutions of time.
It makes more sense. It's jubilees.
So I believe the rapture will be during the first 7 years of the last Jubilee cycle.
And we hope this year.
Yeah, well, I was hoping for last year, but only God knows. But we are sure it's in the fall during the Feast of Trumpets.
You know, we should also mention that all seven and the Sabbath is spiritually fulfilled in the born-again Christian.
That's true. While physically and literally, there are still three appointments yet to be fulfilled. The next in line is our favorite, for obvious reasons, Rosh Hashanah, which this year begins September 11th at sundown, and then 10 days later is Yom Kippur, and then 5 days after that is Tabernacles. So you can say there are really eight, because the Sabbath was also spiritually fulfilled, as Jesus is our Sabbath rest, for he lives inside of us.
And Hebrew 4 speaks about that.
Which is why his number is 8.
Meaning never-ending eternity.
Yes. And the Sabbath will also be physically fulfilled by Jesus when he returns in person at the second coming to set up his kingdom, which is 1,000 years of Sabbath rest. And remember, for the bride, the millennial kingdom begins at the rapture when we arrive in heaven. Then, after 7 years, we'll be back on earth for the remaining 993 years. And then comes eternity, which God hasn't let us in on yet, for what comes after that.
But it will be great, no doubt.
You think? Amen. So, going forward, the Hebrew word for feast is moed, which literally means a set time or appointment specified in Scripture, as in Leviticus 23, by God himself. And by the way, not only is there a spiritual and literal application, but they're also historical.
As when the Hebrews experienced their first Passover in Egypt.
Yes, and left after sundown on unleavened bread and crossed through the Red Sea on the Feast of First Fruits. And was given their Torah and or law 50 days later on what is considered the first Pentecost.
It's amazing how this teaching of God's appointments, it's been so neglected.
Oh, I know. It's unexplainable to me. A few churches are now recognizing this treasure, but not in the details it deserves. It should have been taught right alongside the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, which also originated back in Exodus 20 on the first Pentecost. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus simplifies all 10 with just 2 commandments in Matthew 22. Love God and love your neighbor.
However, today's society needs to stick to the 10 as it is more specific.
Oh, that's a good point.
I say that because I once heard a guy say, "Yes, I do love my neighbor and I visit her all the time."
LOL, you say that every year.
I know.
But that is a good reason why preachers should be precise. And if you read the whole New Testament, Jesus speaks often about immorality. And Revelation 21 verse 8 is very specific, saying, no practicing sexually immoral people will inherit the kingdom.
Okay, back to Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, that is the first of the last three still literally unfulfilled fall appointments of God, which celebrates the head of the year, as we said, more specifically the creation of man.
So, the Jewish New Year.
Yes. On their first civil calendar, which begins the new year in the Hebrew month of Tishrei. Now, there was a later biblical calendar added in Exodus 12, which begins in Nisan, when the Hebrews left Egypt, and the month Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected.
So they celebrate the new year around September.
The real new year, yes, and certainly recognize also their biblical or spiritual new year that begins in Nisan when they celebrate Passover. And we told you all that because when you read scripture after Exodus 12, when a month is given, as in the fourth month or in the fifth month, you count from Nisan on their biblical calendar.
So before Exodus 12, you could count from the civil calendar.
Yes, and that's important when calculating dates of certain events. Mistakes have been made by preachers not knowing their Hebrew roots. Anyhow, sometime near the 6,000th year from Adam's creation, the resurrection is expected to occur. And that specific year is known only to God because the years in ancient days, they were miscalculated. But Rosh Hashanah is also called the Feast of Trumpets because it's a memorial celebration of the blowing of trumpets, as written in Leviticus 23, verse 23.
In the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation.
Hebrew for convocation is mikra, meaning rehearsal, and a holy gathering, which they did every year and still do by the Orthodox and synagogues. So, as we've been telling you, for 30 days during the previous month before the feast is Elul, which we are currently in, and it's called the season of Teshuvah, begins 30 days prior to the Feast of Trumpets, when the Israelites would blow a shofar every day as a reminder and a warning to examine themselves thoroughly for anything that might keep them from being a part of the most talked about and anticipated event some year called the resurrection. Again, this season of Teshuvah, which means to return to a closer union with God, wasn't just about repentance for sins, for they did daily sacrifices for those, but also a warning time from God about unforgiveness in their heart.
As in holding grudges towards someone.
And not being passionately close to God. Instead, letting the cares of this life supersede time spent with our Lord in His scripture.
So, you're saying this is a good time for us all to take stock of ourselves.
Yeah, for us as well. Because we know as born-again Christians, Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And we know what we shouldn't do. But what about all those things we should do but do not?
Or maybe you are finding yourself backsliding.
Or even worse, you only have a head knowledge.
Not a true conversion of the heart.
This would be one of those times to examine yourself because some year, very soon, he will call us up. And James 5 says it will be in the season of the great harvest, which we all know is in the fall. And for those who do study our Hebraic roots and grasp its unique terminology, know the next appointment for Jesus to fulfill, as we said, will be the Feast of Trumpets, signified by the resurrection / rapture. And by the way, every Rosh Hashanah, Well, they eat fruit and honey to symbolize and to anticipate a sweet new year.
Yep, I do like apples dipped in honey.
Amen.
All right, so now let's look at some common idiomatic phrases for Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, the best one and used in 1 Corinthians 15:51 is...
The last trump.
Unfortunately, it's probably the most misinterpreted idiom used by Paul, and a perfect example of why some knowledge of Hebraic roots is so important, especially when it comes to eschatology. This expression is used due to the fact that not only is the shofar blown every day during Teshuvah, they also blow on the 30th day, which is Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, 100 trumpet blasts. And the last trump would usher in the feast and celebrate God's creation.
Sort of like the ball dropping in Times Square on December 31st.
Exactly. It's very important to note that the seventh angel that blows a trumpet in Revelation 11 is not the same occurrence. Rather, an idiom for the Feast of Trumpets.
In fact, Pentecost has the idiom called the first trumpet.
Yes, due to the fact in Exodus 19, it was the first shofar blown by God when he gave them the law at Mount Sinai. And Yom Kippur, which we'll expound on later, has the idiom called the great trumpet, as we see in Matthew 24:31 at his second coming, which will be on a Yom Kippur to gather his elect tribulation saints and his 144,000.
Okay, another phrase for this day is the coronation.
Right. And Psalm 47 is usually read in the synagogue still today in exaltation of our soon coming king who will be crowned in front of us in heaven. So, to follow Jewish tradition, therefore must be on a Rosh Hashanah. Because in ancient times, all kings were crowned on Rosh Hashanah, even if they had to take up the office earlier. Remember, God gave us our Jewish roots so that we can glean our future through this knowledge.
To help us connect the dots.
And they would also bake a round loaf of bread to symbolize a crown.
Also called Yom Terah.
Meaning the day of the awakening blast because it's meant to waken the dead.
And chief of the year.
Meaning to begin over. The traditional saying to others as we open tonight's program is...
Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu.
May you be inscribed for a good year. Also, it's called arise. Because the actual word resurrection isn't in the Old Testament. Instead, as they picture it, as it reads in Isaiah 26:19.
Your dead shall live.
Also from Isaiah 26, verse 2, where he says,
open the gates.
That the righteous may enter in that. In that, by the way, they're closed on Yom Kippur, which is called the Nilah, when he returns on another
day of judgment.
And Rosh Hashanah is also a day of judgment, certainly to those left behind, but also because of the Bema Judgment, where the books containing our good deeds are open before him. And we're going to have to continue this next time, and make sure you share with someone about what we're doing so that they can listen. But if you are backsliding or even wonder whether you are an in-name only Christian of Matthew 7, having only a head knowledge and not a true heart conviction, as in no desire to be in his word, then get on your knees right now. Don't wait. For if you hesitate, the enemy might steal this seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.